Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now let's start today by reading from the book of Galatians chapter 4. We want to read something that Paul wrote to the Galatians there. The book of Galatians chapter 4. He said from verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Now I'm not speaking from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." In verse 12, it says, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." In verse 13, it says, "I can do all these things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." In verse 17, it says, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit, which increases to your account." Please notice this carefully, verse 18. It says, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." He now said in verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now let me just emphasize this before I connect you where we were. He said, "I have received what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." That is, what they gave to Paul was given to God. What they gave to Paul, how did they give it to him? They gave it to him because he was a minister of the gospel, and they gave it to him because he was actively preaching the gospel. Like he said to them in verse 15, "And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." Please, I want to emphasize that there, from there, the fact that he said this was for the preaching of the gospel. Now, remember, we have been speaking about how to work for God in our continuation of many of the things that we have been saying concerning spiritual life. And we have been talking about the different ways by which we give to God, because we said giving to God is one of the ways by which we work for him. It has been one of my duties to correct some of the things that are wrong in the minds and attitudes of Christians. The common thing is that Christians love to give because of what they are going to get. They have an erroneous thinking in their minds that if I don't give to God, he will not give back to me. Therefore, if they need something, they have to give first towards it. I remember when we were in school those days, a brother said he wanted a Dick's Bible, Dick's Annotated Reference Bible. So he went and bought a small Bible and gave somebody. That is not Christianity. Some say, "I need a car, so I'll go and buy a bicycle and sow into somebody's life." That is not Christianity. We have already established that. What is Christianity? We trust that God is our Father, and he loves us, and we approach him on that premise. And that's what the Bible calls faith. And whatever we ask, according to that faith, God will give everything we want to us. So when we give to God, therefore, it is not because of what we are going to get. We have already established that. We give to him because of the love we have towards him. We give to him because we know that everything that he gives to us is for a purpose. The Bible says, when we read from that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, is that he that ministers seed to the sower and bread for food shall both supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. From that, we establish the fact that there are different. Anytime God gives you money, there is seed for the sower and there's bread for food. We said that Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you." He did not say, "Give so that it will be given unto you." There is a difference, because purpose is important with God. The mindset, the motivation is important with him. So we have established that we are giving to God because we love him. We are giving to him because it's our nature. We are giving to him because it is right as priests of God to offer acceptable sacrifices to him. Those are the reasons why we are doing that. So we said there are different ways by which we give to God. It's not just only one way. Oftentimes, people focus on just one particular way. They said only the one you give in church is giving to God. That is not true. We have seen that. We have seen that you can give to the poor, and that is giving to the Lord. The Bible says that clearly. I corrected the fact that some people say that the poor cannot bless you. I said it is not true. Job said it clearly, that the blessing upon the one that was about to perish, the one that was the fatherless, the one that was a widow, the blessing came upon me, and God poured a blessing into my life because of that, so they can bless you. We talked about giving to those God says you should honor, your parents, and those who stood in that position in your life. We also talked about the fact that there is what he called the widows of your household. He said, if anyone will not provide for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He wasn't just talking about a man giving money to his family. He was talking about Christians being kind towards their relatives. He was talking about Christians taking up responsibilities around them when they see it and they have the ability. Now, having established all of that, the next one I want to look at is another way by which we give to God, which is about the one that's preached mostly in churches today. But we cannot say because it's been overemphasized, we will not speak the truth about it. It's also one way by which we give to God. The one we're talking about is we're taking the example from the words of Paul to the Philippians right here, in which he said their gift to him was an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. What was it that they did? Paul was a minister of the gospel, which, of course, we all know. And he went around, now without having anybody really that we can say were his sponsors, he just trusted in God, and God supplied his needs. And one of the ways by which God did was to supply through those people like the Philippians that ministered along with him financially. There's something I want to say quickly. There's what the Bible calls a prophet's reward. Let me read it, and I'll use this one to explain it. Let's quickly read that. I'm just trying to explain what was happening here with Paul and the Philippians. Quickly, let's read from the book of Matthew chapter 10. I'll read from verse 40. It says, he who receives you receives me. And he was talking to his disciples. All right? It says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Please notice this. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. Because a prophet can be poor. He can be in need. If you give to him because he's in need, it's different. He said, if he receives him in the name of a prophet, that person shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man, the name of a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, let me just stop in those two verses. Now, what I want to bring out from there is that issue of the prophet's reward. And what happened with the Philippians? What are we dealing with here? The people were not giving to Paul, listen to this, because they wanted to tap something from him. That is one thing that's very common again in Christianity today, which we just have to stop. It's not good. People say if you want to tap into an anointing on a man of God, you give to him. Listen, you will not receive any anointing. You understand my point? You read through the scriptures, there is nowhere you see that was ever done. Nowhere. The only person that did anything that was like that was Simon the sorcerer. And when, of course, he saw Peter and Co. ministering, and he wanted to be able to minister like them, so he took money to them and said, take and give me this gift. He was trying to buy it. That is the closest I can find in the scriptures to what we practice a lot these days in Christianity. All right? And Peter said clearly to him, no, what you are doing is wrong. He said, you are still in the gall of bitterness. You have not truly repented. You don't understand what is going on. He said, may your money perish with you. I'm sorry to say that's what a lot of us you are actually hearing from God. We don't realize it. You see a pastor is ministering powerfully. You say, hey, I want a child. You go and give to him so that you can have a child. You want to minister like him. You want a husband. You want a wife. You go and give to the prophet, believing that from that you will tap an anointing that will bring a blessing into your home. It is not right, brethren. Let us stop that. There are two reasons only, not more. There are two reasons only, nothing extra, that are correct motivations why Christians should give to a man of God. There are just two of them. This is number one. He said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. That is, we understand that a prophet is working for God. These days, there are different kinds of ministers. They are not all prophets, all right? There are pastors, all right? There are prophets, there are evangelists, there are apostles, all kinds of people who are ministering, who can use this to explain their job. And he said, if a man recognizes that this is what this man is doing, and because of that, he says, let me go and participate in the work. You follow what I'm saying? For example, somebody is maybe ministering in Cameroon, he's ministering in China, he's ministering in Uganda, he's ministering in that part of the world. You can't go with him. But one of the things you can do is to help him go. Are you getting my point? The Bible says if you do that, bearing in mind that he's a minister, then there is what he calls a prophet's reward. What is the prophet's reward? God rewards people for the things they do that are pleasing in his sight. Anything that is done in that process, okay, and that God is pleased with and he wants to reward, he will share with the people who participated. Are you getting my point? I need to just say this again. Because truth, all right, and that which is an error, they are usually very close. A fine line separating them. This is the issue. Sometimes people hear this and they are looking for that reward. Are you getting my point? But God sees their heart. They are not giving to the prophet because he's a prophet. They are giving to the prophet because they want a prophet's reward. He who gives to the prophet because he wants a prophet's reward does not get anything. The motivation must be purely because this fellow is a prophet. Let me say this to you again. Nobody knows what God will give back for good works done. If you want anything from God, ask. If you say, I will give, so you give back to me. Listen, even if it were to work, you don't know what it's going to produce. I already established here, the fact that you gave naira does not mean God will give you back naira. You can give naira and God gives you sand back. It's very, 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 very possible. You understand? You don't know. All right? So don't even try to pretend like you can decide it. All right? I'm talking about the motivation for giving to a prophet. Let's just look at this particular one. We'll look at a story in the life of the one woman in one town called Shunem in the Bible. Quickly, this story is in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll read from verse 8. It said, now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned there to eat food. And she said to her husband, please notice this, oh. And she said to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn it there. Now, let me just read the rest of the story. And one day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite, that is a woman. Now, there's a reason why I read this. I want you to understand. Now, if you read the rest of the story, you will see that he called the Shunammite woman, and then he asked her, what do you want us to do for you? And the woman said nothing. Do you want us to speak to the king? No need. I live amongst my own people. Let's talk. Should we talk to the head of the army for you? He said, no need. The man asked, what can we do? And the woman says simply, there's nothing that I need from you people. That is, in summary, why did I do everything I did? I perceived that you are a holy man of God passing by us continually. Period. She received a prophet because he was a prophet. Not because she needed something. That is where the error, all right, crosses into the lives of Christians. We are always focused on what we need. We are always focused on what we need. If somebody is giving an offering, he's tying it to something. If somebody is giving to a man of God, he's tying it to something. You know, there's something they want. Very few people understand this concept I'm trying to explain today. Just doing things for reasons that are not personal to you. You understand my point? That it's not because of something you particularly want. This woman, they asked him directly. That is, should I pray for you that an anointing may come upon your life? The woman said, no need. I'm already anointed. I don't know whether you get my point. Should I pray for you so you become prosperous? No need. My husband is very rich. At the end of the day, she left. The prophet's servant, Gehazi, now said, listen, she does not have a child and her husband is old. The prophet said, good, call her. Then he prophesied upon her and she gave birth to a child according to his prophecy. This is the point I want you to understand here. She did not do that because of her need, even though God gave her a reward. She was not doing it because of that reward. Please, let's stop this joke with cracking Christianity. If you want to give to your pastor, give to him because he's laboring. In fact, the Bible says it like this. It said, anyone who labors in word and in doctrine is worthy of double honor. Are you getting my point? In fact, we'll go back to that book of Philippians chapter 4. You will see that Paul explains something, that he was not concerned about what they were giving to him as much as he was concerned about the fact that he knew that doing what they did would bring a blessing into their lives. What am I trying to say? If you want to give to a man of God, number one reason you give to him is purely because he's a man of God and he's preaching. That's number one reason. It is not because you want something from him. What is number two reason? Now, before I go to number two reason, notice I'm not emphasizing the fact here. The man is preaching. One of the ways by which we can give to God is to participate in that which is being done, all right, as a preaching of the gospel of God, not because we are personally looking for something. It hurts me a lot, of course. Many of us watch, you see it on TV. People always say, okay, send money. God is going to do something. If you need something, send money. This channel, this television channel is reaching millions. Can participate so you can get something. Once people start talking about so you can get, I feel very bad. Listen to me, it is our responsibility as Christians to preach the gospel. Whether God gives to us or not is besides the point. It is our responsibility. That's why I read a book titled, So Who Will Pay for This? Because I realized that the motivation in the minds of many Christians is not godly at all. All right? They forget that the gospel of God, to preach it is our responsibility. If we are going to preach it on the airwaves like we are doing right now, somebody has to pay for it. If we are going to preach it on television, if somebody is going to go into the villages, you don't expect them, all right, to go to the villages and be looking for what to eat themselves by their own labors. Some people have heard it said, and I've had that argument with people a lot of times. They say, a preacher should walk. And I said, listen, the work of preaching, what do you think it is? Idleness. I don't know whether I get my point. They talk as if they, why should a preacher be supported? I said, why shouldn't he be? The work of the gospel is what? Work. It is hard work. It's not a joke. I do it and I can tell you it is hard work. Now, so the point I'm making is that a lot of people don't realize it. But the fact is that it is work. And one of the ways by which we can give to God is to participate in that sponsorship of the gospel. And that was what the Philippians were doing. And Paul wrote to them and acknowledged that it was a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Now remember, I said there are two reasons why Christians are to give to a prophet. What is that second reason? We have already talked about one. One being the fact that he is a man of God, he is a prophet. The second reason is because he has been a blessing to you. Let me just read this one quickly. I won't spend time here. From the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, Paul explained the principle here. I don't have time to read everything because it's quite long. You read from verse 1 and you read down to around verse 14. You see the principle here. What was he saying? He was explaining the principle. I'll just read one verse just to explain what I want to say, then I go on. And that's in verse 11. He said that if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? Now, there's another place where I want to read it from. I think that's the book of Galatians. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. In answer in verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. What was he trying to explain there? This is the principle here. He was saying that this is what I'm trying to bring up, the second reason why people give to a man of God. He says, simply, it is because the person has been a blessing to you. Those are the two reasons. You didn't notice those two reasons. One, because you recognize the work he's doing and you want to participate. And secondly, because somebody has been personally a blessing to you. And what you are doing is that because he has shared with you a spiritual thing, you are communicating back to him a material thing. And that's the order of God. Beyond this, I know of no other motivation for one to give to a minister of the gospel. Christians often use it as a kind of witchcraft, and that is not proper. It is not right. We don't use these things as our own way of getting things. It's because of the selfishness that's often in our hearts, which we preachers also are complicit in propagating. When we keep on encouraging people to give purely because of what they are going to get. Listen, it's not the will of God, and we should not continue in it. What am I trying to explain? We are working for God. How do we work for God? One of the ways by which we work for God is by giving to him, and we have itemized different ways by which people give to God. You give to the poor, you give to your parents, people that God says you should honor. You give to those who are the members of your household who are in need. And of course, you give for the propagation of the gospel, and you give to the minister of the gospel. These are the ways by which you give to God. Now, let me summarize that by just explaining a principle. Now, I said something the other time that this is what is most important, and I want to emphasize it. In the course of these teachings, I said, which one are we supposed to do and will be given to God? And I explained that the duty of a believer, the duty of a mature Christian, is to allocate each resource to the proper place. Are you getting my point? I want to just drop something with us here as Christians, and that's the principle of planning. Now, a lot of times, people are very impulsive, and pastors sometimes we encourage it. You go to church, you don't have any plan, you just go, depending on how the message moves you for that day, that determines how you give. Listen, that is not the right way to live. Listen, there are times emergencies will come, but generally, your life is not a life of emergencies. You understand what I'm going to explain? You will know averagely how much you earn. If you're a salaried person, you know exactly how much you earn. I have explained a number of different ways by which you can give to God. And in giving to God, remember what we said earlier? He said that he that ministers seed to the sower and bread for food, that is, in everything that God gives you, there's what he calls seed for the sower, and number two, there's bread for food. What is bread for food? That which you use for yourself. What is bread for food? That with which you buy your literal food, with which you pay your house rent, with which you build your house, with which you buy your car, with which you buy your clothes. That's bread for food. What is seed for the sower? Everything that you give out. Either you are giving it as a work of to the work of the ministry, you are giving to somebody who is in need, you are giving to somebody who you are supposed to honor. Whatever it is, all of them are put together and they are called what? Seed for the sower. Now, because there are different portions, it follows therefore that different portions of your money belongs also to different places. Are you getting my point? I made the point then that the money you are supposed to give, for example, for the preaching of the gospel, try, don't give it to the poor. The one you are supposed to give to honor your parents, don't give to the preaching of the gospel. Are you getting my point? You know, sometimes people make me laugh. Christians, they wake up one day and say, all their first month salary is supposed to go to church. I have no problem with it. Second month salary should go to your father. Third month salary should go to the poor. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Yes, if you can survive like that, fine. I have nothing against it. But please, if you are supposed to give money to your parents every month, first month salary, take their own out first. What I'm trying to emphasize is that God is not only in church. And if we Christians are responsible and we do what we are supposed to do, the work of God will not lack money. Neither will the poor people around us lack money. Are you getting my point? Neither will our parents that we are supposed to honor lack money. I said to us then, if the only person that knows that you are generous is your pastor, you are a wicked man. You are an eye service person. You are. You are an idolatrous man. You are still worshiping in a temple. You are not serving the true God. If you are serving the true God, you will understand that sometimes it comes in the list of the saints. It's still the true God. When did we see you and we did not help you? He said, in that you did not do it to these my little ones. You did not do it to me. You are getting the point. What am I trying to close with? I'm trying to explain the fact that what we need is spiritual sense and discipline. Learning how to apportion what is right. Apportion to each place what is their due. I preaching this, that is what I do. That is my practice. Everywhere that I'm supposed to drop money, I have mentally or in reality, all right, calculated what's supposed to go to each place on a normal season, you know, normal month. I know how much I earn. I know when it's going to get paid. I know where I'm supposed to put this and put that. Then when there are emergencies, we know there are emergencies. That is why if I enter a place, preach, I don't know the anointing you want to use to collect money from you. It go hard. Now, it doesn't mean that I never do anything that's not budgeted for. In fact, just as a testimony, the other day I was in my office. A man took a call. That was just yesterday. He took a call. And by the time he finished taking the call, he spoke in Igbo, so I didn't hear what he said. He was not telling me what he said. That CEO, the man calling me, he told me all the problems of the man's life. And that the man is a minister. He didn't have money to help the man. I just shook my head. So my friend was just telling me the story. As he was saying it, I was just pained. I didn't have any money in my pocket. I checked, there was nothing. So I went to another fellow nearby. I said, "Abel, lend me some money." The guy lent it to me. I came back. I said, "Abel, give that guy this. I don't know him. And don't tell him my name." The guy asked me later, "Can I give him your phone number so that he will say thank you?" I said, "There's no need now." Are you getting my point? You see, one of the things we must learn is that giving attitude. You see, Christianity, I pray we understand it very well. I say all the time, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is the attitude of a Christian. It's an attitude. Not investing. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have turned Christianity to an investor's market. Put in some money. After some time, we use 100-fold. That's not what it is. Christianity is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of sacrifice. I'm just closing by explaining a principle that let's budget for it. One of the reasons why people cannot be generous is that they don't make allowance for it. In life, understand principles and make allowances accordingly. Put the things that are more important as priority. Are you getting my point? And all other things shall be added unto you. I hope you've gotten my point. All right.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng, or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.